Welcome to the Gooder Podcast, where we talk with powerhouse women in CPG about their journeys to success. This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a brand development firm guiding mission-driven consumer brands to attract new and passionate consumer base, crush their categories through growth and innovation, and magnify their social and environmental impact. If your brand is in need of brand positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we are here to help. You can find more information at www.retail-voodoo.com.
Well, hi, Diana Frank here. I'm the host of the Gooder Podcast, where I get to talk with the powerhouse women in the food, beverage, and wellness categories about their journeys to success and their insights on the industry. Real quick, this episode is brought to you by Retail Voodoo. Retail Voodoo is a brand development firm. Our clients include Starbucks, Kind, REI, PepsiCo, Hi-Key, and many other market leaders. We provide strategic brand and design services for leading brands in food, wellness, beverage, and the fitness industries. If your goal is to increase market share, drive growth, or disrupt the marketplace with new and innovative ideas, give us a call and let's talk. To find out more, you can visit us at retail-voodoo.com. Well, today I get to introduce Donna Katz, who's founder and CEO of G's Ginger Beer, an Aussie native now living in San Francisco's Bay Area, crafting vibrantly flavored, absurdly aromatic, and refreshing and memorable dry hard ginger beers that are ready to drink and ready to mix. More so, Donna brings a deep love for environmental stewardship that informs every aspect of her leadership. So very excited to bring Donna. Hello, Donna. How are you today?
G'day. Good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. You still in San Francisco today?
I'm in the Bay Area. So I'm the North Bay Area.
Right? North Bay.
Not up in the Napa Valley.
Okay. So we're not allowed to technically say San Francisco. I know there's little turf wars there between those boundaries a little bit, hey?
So we say, yeah, but the greater Bay Area.
So it's been a bit since we really spoke. We originally met at, a BevNet speed dating event, right? Yeah, like last year.
Yes. A
lot has happened since then, hey?
Lot. Yes.
Yeah.
Loads.
Yes. In addition to the world changing, you've got a lot of changes going on with G's. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more about that. But first, as I always like to do, I love it when my guests get to tell us about their brand. So this is G's. It's a dry hard ginger beer. Can you tell us a little bit more about G's ginger beer and why it exists?
Yeah, sure. With pleasure. Thank you. So I am an Australian native. I moved to California in 2013 and I started dry farming a small block of grapevines here in the Napa Valley in 2014 and making a restrained style wine. And it was farming the land that opened my eyes to what it means to care for the land, and winemaking and all things fermentation that piqued my interest on the nutritious side of what fermentation is. I forage locally where we live here, and so much just grows abundantly here in California, local and seasonal. And I was combining these seasonal and local ingredients and specifically started fermenting ginger for my gut health. I was combining these ingredients of fruits and botanicals and citruses and flowers into these ginger fermentations. And I was really quite blown away at the quality of the beverage that I was producing. It was a little bit reminiscent of the experience one has when they drink a glass of wine. You pour wine into a glass, it opens your senses, it alivens you. It's an emotive experience. You get that taste in the palate and you get a length, and there's something memorable about it. And I was getting this with these ginger fermentations, and I realized that I was making something that I couldn't buy, and that was something that had absolutely no sugar in it because I ferment everything to dry and that only used real agricultural ingredients. And then the Australian in me was like, well, why isn't there any moderate alcohol in these clean and tasty beverages? So that's where I really saw the opportunity, and that's how the brand got going.
Okay. I have a, this is going to sound like a biased question, so forgive me for this. When you say the Australian in me says, why is there no moderate alcohol? I know this is a bias, but it doesn't strike me as that. So can I assume that the Australian The Australian beverage industry might be a little bit more diverse from a product standpoint than the American market. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, not necessarily. I think Australians have been known to enjoy a beverage. and I think that more and more of us these days in general are just looking at moderation and being a bit more mindful of moderation.
Gotcha.
So I think the Australian in me was like, okay, it's possible to have a beverage, have beverage alcohol in it and be able to enjoy it, not go overboard necessarily, but it's okay to be in moderation and enjoy a beverage at the same time.
Yeah. Sorry. I know that's like I said, it's a bias, but let's dispel it right now. Okay. Done. Check that box. Okay. So tell me a little bit, your bio, the longer bio that you sent to me emphasizes kind of this deep love of land and people and humans and animals. Aside from just being a human, is there something that has influenced you in that direction, your upbringing or something different?
Yeah, it definitely has been more recently. I grew up in the city and I've lived in cities all of my life, but it really was when I, just launched myself and just really anchored myself here in being in the land and living on the land and farming the land. And farming the land really did open my eyes to what it means to care for the land and living in a more agricultural sort of environment and seeing the life cycle of how agriculture, especially, and in my case, it's wine grapes, they grow, is you can see the life cycle in the seasons. You live it, you breathe it. And you just have a deeper sense of the energy associated and around it. And I also firmly believe that, like, wouldn't life be awesome for all living creatures if we all had less exposure to chemicals and pesticides? Mm-hmm. That's a value proposition that I think, hopefully is important. It's important that we can all achieve at some stage in our lifetime.
Yeah. Well, I find it curious, not in a wrong way, bad way, or a good way, but I know that you, formerly commodities trader from Australia, now have come to the US and embraced agriculture, like literally at the level of the dirt. Yeah. And I'm curious around that inspiration a little bit. How do you move from a big city commodities, fast-paced, technology-based world to something that's, well, I wouldn't say CPG is slow, but the earth is slow in many ways. How did that happen?
Yeah, I think I'm a big believer in being present, and you just don't know what's going to kind of evolve and how things will shape and unfold. And I don't think I necessarily saw this specifically as how it would play out, but just being immersed in it and choosing to change, where I lived and how, and the lifestyle that I lived, and wanting to be closer to the land and exploring what that meant, opened my eyes. And then it just fueled this wonderful kind of organic growth of learning more about what I love about the land and nutrition and, and how to sustain and wanting just to learn more about it. And it's catapulted. It continues to snowball for me as well. So sometimes I feel like I've only barely scratched the surface on it, but each year as I farm the vineyard or as I'm, in this environment, I learn more and I want to learn more.
Got it. Well, so you started off on this journey. When did you know that this idea that you were headed in the right direction? When were you starting to get kind of traction? Like, okay, this is real. This is going to happen.
Yeah, I idea wise kind of sparked around middle of 2017. I'm going to say, and took about 16 months of full time R&D and startup to get to market. I was certainly naive in what it means to build a brand and certainly the amount of resources and money it takes to build a brand, especially in beverage alcohol. Mm. I saw something compelling. I did a lot of research. There is no category. We're first to market with a category of ginger-based, dry hard ginger beers. So this is not a malt-based beverage specifically. There's no malt, barley or hops. It's not a traditional beer. It's ginger-based. And, you know, there is an existing market in Europe for alcoholic ginger beers. There's an existing market in Australia for alcoholic ginger beers. There's not a long bow to stretch necessarily when you look at the extension from the non-alcoholic beverages into some of the alcohol beverage world. And, you know, kombucha is now hard kombucha and seltzers are hard seltzers. And so it's not a long bow to draw to say, yeah, ginger beer is a hard ginger beer. And here's a fun fact. Ginger beer is actually the third most popular cocktail mixer in the United States.
Wow.
It is a household category for sure. But it's a bit of a sleepy household category. And it's like, and in my opinion, you know, it's been a little dormant on the innovation side of things.
Yeah.
So I'm here to kind of change that. But so when I started making these beverages and these fermentations and people were interested in it and, you know, I was getting quote unquote demand, but people were really excited about it. I overlaid that with some of the data and the statistics and some of the research I'd been doing at the time. Now you're talking about 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
There weren't any hard seltzers necessarily really in the marketplace yet. But at the highest level, the stats are not shocking. And that is that 70% of men drink traditional beer and only 30% of women do. They're not shocking stats. But what that really means is that 50% of the adult drinking population does not drink traditional beer. They've been itching for alternatives. If you didn't feel like a cocktail or you didn't feel like a glass of wine and don't drink beer, what did you have as an option? And so I saw this really wonderful opportunity of putting these, you know, dry hard ginger beers into the marketplace and giving people just another option and having them be that cleaner beverage alcohol option that's also, you know, you can use in your cocktails. And so very versatile from that perspective, but staying differentiated on that side.
Bringing your product to marketplace, have you had conversations with people in the hospitality channel? And if so, I'm curious if the feedback from that channel is different than what you're hearing from the retail and consumer driven channel.
Yeah, it's a good question. And the hospitality side, I think, you know, there's this sort of 2-year gap in hospitality.
Yeah, with COVID. Right.
And so that's an area that I want to now, you know, start to look more toward, because I think there is great opportunity there and there's a good, you know, product market fit for a beverage like ours as well. And a lot of what we would consider a bit of white space, both on the on-premise and into the hospitality side. And, you know, spas and poolside, and there's loads of places where, you know, you look at this intersection between better for you and beverage alcohol, and you know, it's a great time to be in both, you know, the better for you beverage alcohol space and this kind of this sort of the hot RTD ready to drink, you know, beverages, and so yes, it's an area I want to continue to look into. And now that we're coming out of COVID, it's on the radar.
Yeah. Curious, if maybe you can expand on this a little bit. When you say better for you in the context of alcoholic beverage, does the ginger, now this is a little bit sciencey and geeky, and so forgive me if this is something I'm assuming that you've been, you know, up to your elbows in this. The ginger compounds, if that's the right word, the elements of ginger that are good for you from a digestive platform or standpoint, do they come through in the alcohol as well? Like nothing happens to them. Do they have the same types of benefits when combined in an alcohol?
Yeah. So I'm not a scientist or, you know, either. But ginger, we know that ginger has its benefits. It's considered a superfood and it does help with aid with digestion. That was why I was originally fermenting with it. It is a fine line, and you know, I would never say that drinking alcohol is good for you. Sure. We say loosely the whole concept of better for you, and beverage alcohol is, you know, it can be a fine line. So there are cleaner alcohol options available. There are less clean alcohol.
Got it.
I'm a big believer in transparency and giving people the option and the choice to make the decisions based on giving them the information available and making the information available and label transparency. And so, yes, ginger has proven functional benefits. Ginger is great for digestion. It's great for nausea. It does settle the belly. It's, you know, there's a lot of properties. that doesn't diminish because it's in alcohol, which is awesome. And it's super tasty as well. When you combine it with other ingredients, you just elevate the whole experience. And so that's, you know, that's what we're wanting to do. And I have a lot of people tell me when they've tried the you know, the beverage, they're like, wow, I didn't expect it to be this refreshing or this flavorful or this aromatic. Or yeah, I think of ginger when I, you know, have something to, you know, in my stir fry or something like that. But like this takes it to a whole other level. And
exactly.
They can see an occasion base or, you know, where they might want to enjoy it or, you know, where they have enjoyed it. And that's super cool to hear always as well.
Yes. I know we had some samples provided a year ago, and it was, what I loved about it is it was far more versatile of a beverage companion than a person might expect, because yeah, as Americans, we think of ginger in a very finite sense. And so you can have it with a burger, you can have it with a salad during the summer, because it just, because of that light and refreshingness, and to have the added benefit of, you know, whether it's psychosomatic or real stomach, a little bit of stomach ease, not a bad thing. I like it.
No, and the and bubbles as well. You know, you find the bubbles can help to just, you know, soothe the stomach a little bit as well. Nice. And it being moderate alcohol means that, you know, you're not like completely shooting yourself in the foot kind of thing.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, let's go back to a little bit about your experiences in growing G's here now. I always like to learn about, like, when you look back, was there a moment, or have you had a moment yet where you were like, I can't believe we went that direction or went that route? Kind of sort of like, what was a learning experience that you're kind of like, wished I wouldn't have done that, but because that happened, I learned blank, blank, and blank.
Yeah, it's been sort of three and a half years in commerce now, almost four. Mm-hmm. So still young in the scheme of things, and as you know, small emerging brand kind of stuff so far. But we are getting the traction. I'm a sole founder and still the sole member of Team G's, and the traction that we're getting so far, you know, the traction we're getting now is we're going to start to see, you know, bringing some more people on board and resources and starting to grow a team and build a culture. And that's all. And that feels great for the growth that we're having. But early on, there were a lot of lessons. Mm-hmm. And when you didn't have a lot of, you know, again, coming back to the fact that there weren't many other beverage alcohol options out there in the marketplace, means that there equally wasn't a lot of experience in this sort of more hybrid nature of fermentation, of taking winemaking principles and overlaying it into beer land and going, okay, there's so much I know I don't know, and there's so much I know I need to learn. You know, my first few batches of commercial ginger beer, like one of them had to be destroyed, you know, one of them wasn't marketable enough. Like quality control has always been very important to me, and not really knowing who the right people are to knock on doors, but also not having a budget to be able to say, okay, I'm going to go out and like spend so much in like figuring this out or hiring these thing people, or, you know, and so it was a lot of suck it and see and bootstrapping it along the way. And you want to figure out if you've got a product market fit. You don't want to like overly expense yourself to the fact where you can't like get your product into the market. And so I did have a lot of especially product and fermentation learnings early, which I'm very appreciative of. And, you know, they were hard to suck up at the time, and I still am learning as we go, but it's given me a greater awareness as to the things that I still need to be aware of as we continue to grow and scale.
Yeah.
So a lot of those learnings, you know, very huge, steep learning curve, and still to this day as well, which is why I also want to continue to surround myself with other, you know, people that have got the expertise that can just, you know, that we can, the vision that we can just keep building the vision forward.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, and, you know, kind of a lot of those learnings that many entrepreneurs do, especially since you don't come from a CPG background, I'm sure there's a lot of intuition, gut instinct, but when it comes to actually knowing it, especially in beverage, and then especially so in alcohol category, there's a lot of who do you know that has to happen. And I'm curious, where are you finding, or have you found any kind of regular mentorship, and how are they guiding you mostly? Is it in product development, or is it in the business of it, or is it getting in front of those, you know, having the right language to use in front of the right kind of buyers? Talk a little bit about that. How are you finding that mentorship?
Yeah, it's been challenging to find that, especially I'm an immigrant, right? So not being from here and also not having a CPG background has meant for mostly just really learning as I go along. And sometimes that's kind of good too, because you don't have a lot of the preconceived ideas about what it should be, or you're not held back by, you know, the constraints that other people may already see. But the naivety is a double-edged sword as well sometimes. I'm a part of a few sort of networking groups here, especially here in the Bay Area, and I've valued people's, you know, founder to founder, like peer counsel. I've valued people who have been there, done that, be it in CPG or in general with you know, founding their own business, or being a founder or a sole founder or a co-founder or an entrepreneur in general, but or other parents who are professionals as well, and navigating some of that space too. So I'm definitely grateful. It's networking is sort of, it's been harder and easier all at the same time with COVID. Here you can be doing a lot of the virtual, but in person is, it's just you can't compare getting back to being back in person, and getting instant feedback, especially around product and quality and messaging. And that's been huge, to have some of that feedback, to have some of that sound, you know, to find people that you can trust to engage in a conversation with. And naturally, Bay Area, I'm a huge fan of the Naturally Network.
Good. I was going to ask.
They're awesome. You know, it just everything. I love to participate in what they're doing and how they're doing it, and you know, and also be the recipient of a lot of the programs that they offer. And there are other CPG networks throughout the country where you can kind of clock into, be Slack channels or virtual meetings or meetups now. And so I try and tap in on that, and some of the research that you can glean on data analysis and stuff like that. But there have been a few people that have helped, you know, brought me under their wings, so to speak. And look, the one thing I recognize is everyone's time is really, really precious. And so I value the small snippets of, and it's neat when you can just clock back in with someone. You're like, wow, has it really been like 6 months ago? Yeah, it really has. And like, just get up to speed for a minute, and like, you know, shit for a sec, and it's great. And we don't have a lot of time and bandwidth necessarily, but it's nice to be able to give and receive where we can.
For sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about some milestones, or is there a moment right now where you're like, I can't believe that happened, pinched me, something that you're really proud of today?
I mean, I'm having them a lot lately.
Oh, good.
Well, it's not that I didn't before. It's just now they seem like they're really like, they're like the adult stuff. It's like you're no longer at the kids' table kind of thing.
Right.
And so, recently, so we just got a core mandate at Target that started last month.
Yes.
Here in the Bay Area. And it just, you know, and I self-merchandise still some of those stores. And I genuinely love being on the ground, and the relationships that I've built are meaningful to me. And And so I go into Target stores, and I'm just like, I turn the corner and I see my own, you know, six packs there. And I'm just like, I'm blown.
Yes.
Pictures myself, like, wow, you know, like, I'm humbly grateful. Like, I did this. And
yes,
we just found out that we're just literally a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be core at 54 Whole Foods in Northern and Southern California.
Yes.
Next month. And we're just about to sign with a new distributor. And so it's just, it feels like the traction and the momentum is really starting to pick up, and the diligence of laying a lot of those foundations, you know, early, and just kind of, this is a marathon, you know, I've got to continue to tell myself that. I can get impatient and like get frustrated, but there are some things that I've had to learn that are out of, you know, that I know that there are things that are out of my control, but I've had to just learn to be okay with going with the process, just because I think that, you know, this is a great fit here. It may be a great fit there. It just may not be the right timing, and that, you know, shit has a way of working out.
Yeah, it does.
Yep. So not trying to force it, but just building relationships genuinely and authentically and nurturing them and allowing that, you know, that space, you know, and allowing it all to kind of fall into place. So there's still a long, long way to go, but those two big milestones are, you know, they're a big deal. TAG and Whole Foods are a big deal. And it's pretty momentous. So
that those are huge deals. Target especially, I've really been impressed with what Target's been doing right now, particularly with small businesses and diversification of their supplier base. That and also Sprouts is, I don't know if anybody from Sprouts is listening, you guys, I'm not sure what you're up to, but I would love to be in that room because there's a lot of movement. So both of those companies are doing big things, and congrats on Whole Foods and Target is a big deal.
Thank you. It really is. But yeah, both of them for the same reasons and for different reasons.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so as you are sitting back and people are, I'm sure that you are now having entrepreneurs come to you and saying, "Hey, Donna, what do I need to be aware of as I'm coming into this, whether it's from a new space or from being a woman in alcohol, being an immigrant, any of those things." So what sort of advice do you find yourself giving right now when people come to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I am starting to have some people reach out, and I'm thrilled for them. I'm glad they are, right? Because I know I reached out to other people and still do in my journey. And I'm loving that. As a mate of mine says, it's the karmic boomerang.
Right, right.
What goes around does come around, and what we put out there will come back to us. And especially when we come from the right place. And so I do say that to other people that are looking to get into this journey. It's like your enthusiasm, your innovation, your excitement, that's all going to be partly what propels you through this. You need to have some resilience and a little bit of tough, you know, to be a little tough skinned about it, but be true to yourself and do your homework too, and listen to what other people say. But your instincts and what brought you here is what's going to continue to fuel what goes forward. And don't ignore necessarily every sign that might be a bit of a warning. But like, you know, if you feel like you've done your homework and what you want to produce or how you want to go about doing it is the right way to do it, then back yourself. It's okay to back yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and trial it. Keep things as small and as simple as you can for the time being, until you get what they call that product market fit and start to see some of that traction, and things will start to happen. And just put yourself out there with authenticity and, you know, and genuinely, and you'll find that, you know, more and more people will be attracted to that. And I think the difference is many, many years ago, someone had put it to me, it's not that you want to be liked by people. It's you want to be likable. If you're a likable person and what you're doing, and then people will naturally respond to that.
Yeah.
So I'm all for, you know, anyone that wants to enter any kind of space that they, if it's a passion of yours and you want it, you're like, go for it, you know. And as we are limitless only to ourselves in some ways.
Oh, I like that. We are limitless only to ourselves. Donna Katz, that's going to be somewhere. I can see it. Well, tell me what's next for G's, or what's next for you? I mean, yeah, we already know now you're in Target and Whole Foods, but do you have what's on the radar for the next 12 months?
Yeah, California is a massive market, as we know, and a lot to saturate here. We're still very small, and it's a great start with now getting some of the Target locations. So the idea would be to grow more of the points of distribution, both off premise and on premise. We'd like to see G's more utilized in, you know, in cocktails and mixed beverages as well. It is a clean slate for a cocktail creation. It's elevates the aromatics and the flavor profile and the memorability of the occasion where you're at. And so getting more of the liquid to lips and saturating the Californian market is high, on our agenda for this coming 12 months. And we're just about to enter this new distribution agreement. So there's a lot to do here before we look at the more thoughtful expansion of going out of state, which wouldn't be until at least next year. And then the innovation pipeline sort of thing, we're sort of, excited to get back into innovation and what the brand extensions are for the and the vision for the brand itself, because the brand was always thought of to be and designed and has a vision to be more than a dry hard ginger beer. There's a ginger beer and ginger ale is a $1.6 billion category in the United States.
Wow.
I see it as a sleepy household category that's innovation, and I'm here to change that and to do it sort of cleaner and better for our planet, and better for ourselves. And
I love it.
So you really work on what did I hear recently? Someone say, go a mile deep and an inch wide before we can try and spread ourselves too thin. So building out team now, we're hiring a head of sales and doing some fundraising and looking at what does it mean to really saturate this Californian market and have these beverages be more available and just get them into people's hands.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So I love it.
The next 12 months.
So, not a whole lot.
No, not a whole lot.
Oh my goodness. I'm enjoying our time together. And frankly, every time we chat, I really do enjoy our time. I particularly because, I'm an entrepreneur too, me and my business partner. We've been working together since 2006. So we have a few more miles on our journey than you do at this time, but also being a working mom and, doing all the things that we do in that capacity, I feel like we have a lot of shared values. And so thank you. I really am enjoying this.
Thank you. I'm thrilled that you wanted to have me on.
Here's the thing about having your own podcast. You get to interview the people that you want to interview. It's pretty rad. So I have a last couple of questions that I like to ask everybody. And the first one is, being in this category, this can be outside of category. Are there any women leaders or rising stars out there in our industry or not that you would like to elevate or simply admire for the work that they're doing? And if so, who are they and why?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the exciting thing is that there are going to be more and more, right?
Yes.
And, the reality is that there's not been as many, who have had the ability to flourish in the environment that we're in now, but they are out there and I do admire them, and especially those who are mums as well as professionals. And my two sisters are that, and I admire both of them in their fields and who they are as parents and as professional women. And they inspire me literally daily. Their kids are older than my kids, but they're all now my kid singular. But they have definitely been a big part of inspiring me. And yes, there are loads of other women out there, and I will say to all of the women and the young girls, and it's been overdue that our time is now, kind of thing. And it's okay to have the courage and just do it, just get out there and do it and find your passion and allow that to shine.
Great. And I'm curious, what brands or trends in the CPG space? It doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol. It could be in any. What business or brands or trends do you have your eye on right now, and why?
Yeah, maybe because I also have a child now. Am I seeing things, starting to see things more from their eyes? And it does come back to the overall value proposition of cleaner ingredients.
Yeah.
Plant-based where appropriate. I mean, I eat meat as well, but I have a plant-based household and there's no chemicals or pesticides or anything on our entire property. But I look at that next generation and go, okay, what's next for them? And into the NA space, the non-alcohol space and food and beverage in general. And and more awareness. We know that kids are very aware of fruits and vegetables, but like botanicals are a really cool one that that I think that the younger generation are yet to really be exposed to, and what the awesome nature of botanicals, both from a taste and a medicinal and a use of. And so I think there's a great there's a space there, and I don't know potentially my application in that space, but I'm excited to see how botanicals grow as a trend for that next generation.
You know, I find that's curious. And before we started recording, I was telling you a little bit about a travel history that I had. And my parents are immigrants from Central Europe. And when it comes to botanicals, you know, like America, like lost a whole, maybe even two generations, I think. And I think other countries as well, but America predominantly, when we became kind of this industrialized country and where everything that was created by a machine and mechanicized and chemically made was the way of the future. And so we lost touch with those botanicals that, you know, when I went back to Europe a few years ago, like you have herbs and flowers and in everything, in food and as in medicinal use, and they were not as foreign. So it's almost like a reintroduction of those elements to kids and even just the general population, if you ask me, here in the US.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, all of it, every can of G's, we're gluten-free and plant-based, and there's no added sugars and there's no sweeteners and there's no artificial ingredients. You know, I choose organic first, you know, and we have real fruits, botanicals, spices. And we, you know, I genuinely believe there are better and cleaner ways to enjoy a beverage or a beverage alcohol. And so that can apply to anything at any generation, obviously not the alcohol under 21, but, you know, that can apply, you know, to all food and beverage applications, you know, for all of us, you know, and, and we can enjoy it while supporting active and healthier lifestyles. Like that's, it's possible.
Agreed. Wow. Well, we have been talking with Donna Katz, founder and CEO of G's Ginger Beer. Donna, where can people learn more about you and G's?
Yeah, thank you. So gsgingerbeer.com is our website, and our Instagram handle is gsgingerbeer. And by all means, please, I'm always open and welcome to anyone who would love to reach out. On email, you can find me at donna@gsgingerbeer.com. So it's donna@gsgingerbeer.com.
Oh, generous. Thank you for supplying that. Thank you. Now, I want to thank you for your time today. I am always so happy to spend time with you in particular today. Thank you for sharing your journey with us. And I look forward to seeing what's next. And I want to thank all the listeners. Thank you for your time today. If you like this episode, really, please share it with a friend. Otherwise, have a great day. And we're going to catch everybody on the Gooder Path podcast next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to click subscribe and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.